Absolutely. Jacoby Myers is better than Stephon Diggs at this point in terms of what he's putting on the field. Stephon Diggs is not a downfield threat. Neither is Jacoby Myers, but the resume over the last three seasons certainly does measure up.
That was Tommy Curran on the Pats Interference podcast with Andrew Callahan. He's talking Pats. Both of them seem to agree Jacoby Myers at this stage of his career greater than Steph Diggs.
Yeah, we were talking about it yesterday, and you and I would rather have Diggs. Now, for 1 year, I'd rather have Diggs. And then next year, you might have to figure out, all right, is Pop Douglas and Kayshon Booty enough? Do you have to go looking for a massive trade again? Like, what do you have to do to upgrade that spot? Maybe Kyle Williams is, like, on the fast track. But I just think Myers is a little bit safer and maybe has the higher floor, but does nowhere near has the higher ceiling.
Well, and to your point, if you're taking a bigger picture snapshot, yeah. He's not a ton younger than Diggs, by the way.
He's 3 years.
He's in his late 20s.
No.
But he is younger. I mean, if you're taking a bigger snapshot, maybe that's a way to answer it. Yeah, I know what Jacoby Myers is. I think Jacoby Myers probably just had statistically his career year. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad year. But that's a pretty average Steph Diggs year, at least prior to this knee injury. So we both agree. I would take Diggs over Jacoby Myers, but a lot of people now are starting to say that, which I found interesting.
But what I also wouldn't want is for them to acquire Jacoby Myers and then be like, we're all set at receiver, right? Like, I'm pro Myers. I'll take Myers. But if you end up, so he wants out of the Raiders. So obviously anybody that wants out wants another contract, wants a big contract. So if they bring him in and they're like, we're going to give you, you know, not Terry McLaurin money because you don't deserve that, but like way more than we're paying any of our current receivers. And then you're like, all right, there you go, Drake May, you're all set. I'd rather, and maybe this is just wishful thinking, I'd rather be a player for the next guy that spins loose. And
right.
I don't know, maybe it's not as common as it once was. Maybe teams are learning from that. They're like, we're not going to trade away A.J. Browns anymore. We're not going to trade away Tyreek Hill.
The next disgruntled wide receiver.
Get in on that guy, and don't just sit back and be like, we got Myers.
Yeah, that's
fair. I'm shooting higher than that.
And some of those guys moved, right? Metcalf moved. Pickens moved. So some of those guys are still moving. Am I missing anyone else?
No, those are good examples.
Debo is different. Debo's older, so Debo moved.
But like even DK and Pickens to me aren't the automatic like AJ Brown, Steph Diggs when he went to Buffalo.
No,
I agree. Those guys you were like, oh, that guy's
the
nasty.
Real
and maybe
true,
Metcalf's closer to that, but
the
like,
real true elite game changers. Yeah, that is fair. I was reading Mark Daniels today at Mass Live, and he had an interesting numerical breakdown of the Patriots receivers in camp.
Okay.
So he charted everything for 18 training camp practices.
Oh, boy.
And, well, here's what he came up with for numbers. You tell me if this is a good or a bad thing for Steph Diggs. He says it was never a question as to who May or offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels saw as the Patriots' top targets. Out of every pass catcher on the team's 90-man roster, DeMario Douglas and Steph Diggs led the team in receptions with May on the field. Douglas, who Daniel says is in position for a career year. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
Okay.
Now,
what is a career year for Pop Douglas?
Yes. I think we're somewhat grading that on a curve.
Yeah.
Right?
What would a career year for him be? Like, has he even hit 800 yards? 700? Has he hit 700 yards?
No.
Okay.
So he's had two seasons. First year, he played 14 games as a rookie. He had 561 yards receiving and zero touchdowns.
But those yards, I think, for a Patriots rookie, that might have set the Patriots rookie receiver record. Is either that
you're right?
Did he pass that Dobson? Reception?
Yeah,
Dobson had the record. So like the record is like
it's not great.
No, maybe that was under Bill because Terry Glenn must have had way.
Oh,
more.
I'm sorry.
It was not a Patriots record, but under Bill or a
since
2000.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it was that. You're right.
Last year, Pop Douglas had 66 catches for 621 yards and three touchdowns. So yes, I think he's in line for a career year.
Fair point.
Yeah.
He says he led the team along with Steph Diggs in receptions with May on the field. 25 receptions for Douglas and 20 for Diggs. Now, the numbers are actually bigger if you count all quarterbacks because Diggs had a day where he is working with Josh Dobbs, which I thought was a bad sign for him, too. I wasn't here for that. I don't know if you were here for that. I forget if it was Monday, Tuesday, or if it was late week.
Okay.
But while I was on the beach, Keith, I was reading about that. I said, oh, Steph Diggs had four catches in
from
camp.
Dobbs.
I'm like, that's good. Two from May, two from Dobbs.
The Pasternak.
So the totals were 30 for Douglas and 25 for Diggs.
Okay.
When you mix in running backs, Travion Henderson had a bunch of catches as well. Pop Douglas getting more looks, more catches, more even, I don't want to say reps, but more production with Drake May than Steph Diggs. Good or a bad thing?
I think it's fine. Like, I can't, you're not going to say, oh, it's a good thing. I just think Steph Diggs got managed through camp. I mean, we were, you know, highlighting the Washington practice where Pop Douglas might have had his best day. And then some of the big highlight plays, Steph Diggs wasn't even out there the whole time. Right. So I'd be curious on even like percentage for when they were out there. I feel like I bet Pop Douglas got more reps.
I think he had more pure reps.
Yeah. So like maybe the percentage of the ball getting thrown to you was a little bit closer, but somebody's going to have to be the second leading receiver. Hell, somebody might have to be the leading receiver, not named Steph Diggs, right? He might not even be the team's leading receiver. I still am hopeful that he will be, but maybe their numbers will be a little bit more similar. I mean, Steph Diggs, going back to his days in Minnesota, obviously very split between he and Thielen. Then he goes to Buffalo, where he is the guy. But now he's a little bit older. He goes to Houston, where ideally they're like, he's going to be one of three guys. And so the Patriots start this camp where you're like, I don't know who those guys are going to be. So I'll spin it positive for Pop Douglas. Like, maybe Pop Douglas hits a 700-800-yard receiving, and Steph Diggs is right there with him. And then that's half of Drake May's total, give or take.
Yeah, I just... the more I think about this, again, him getting any reps with Dobbs, bad sign.
Yeah, it's odd.
It doesn't mean he's going to have a terrible season, but that is a bad sign. Why is he working with Josh Dobbs?
I was like, the last guys that were working with Dobbs were like Baker and Chisholm. And
Yeah, so I don't think that's a great sign. And then if Douglas and Booty are standing out, Booty was the clear-cut third guy in the receiver room with receptions with May and preseason production and training camp, or camp production, I should say, not counting the preseason games. If Booty and Pop Douglas are standing out and Diggs has started to fade in, I just maintain there should be – if Steph Diggs is Steph Diggs,
yeah,
and he really is better than Jacoby Myers, which we both think. Not everybody feels that way, Curran and Callahan among them. Then there should be separation between him and the other receivers. And I would say in camp, doesn't close the book on it. He could still do it in the regular season. But in camp, there wasn't the separation that I expected there.
So I wonder what his – We got into this, I think, towards the end of yesterday's show. His snap count, like his percentages, yeah. Steph Diggs.
I think so, he'll be managed to start. That's what I think. I know I don't think you agree with that, but that's what I think.
Well, it's funny, though, because the way they use receivers, and even though they cut two yesterday, they still have six on the roster. I don't think they're going to go four wide very often.
Me either.
I'm not even sure how much they go three wide, but let's say they do that a little bit. I don't think they're going to have... like Mac Hollins play or like be active but not play, or like Booty be active and not play. Like, I think there's five guys, because don't you want to run a few deep balls with Kyle Williams?
Yeah,
like, I think five guys probably play, but you have so much two wide receiver set that he's not going to get 95% of the snaps, which is like what he did in Buffalo. Now, we were looking up last season, the eight games.
I think he could get to that number later in the year.
I hope
if he's
does,
healthy.
Yeah.
But the first month,
yeah,
I bet Hollins steals some of his snaps and Booty steals some of his snaps, and you're right, maybe they have Kyle Williams come in and run some go routes. Like, I don't know, but I'd imagine from those four receivers, they're all getting quite a bit of reps, and if it's two wide receiver sets,
yeah,
Diggs may not be on the field for some of that, and maybe they take him out on three wide receiver sets. I don't know, but I bet he's managed early in the year because they started to manage him throughout camp in the preseason.
His best year, which was the COVID year, 2020, he played 88.7% of the offensive snaps. The last game of the season, they really like reduced his role. So let's just call it 90% of the snaps. Last year, it was closer between like 75, 80, 85. So I'm with you. I bet to start the year, that number is a little bit lower. But should he at least lead the team in receiver snaps, right? Like if you jumble everybody around, I don't think Pop Douglas is playing 90% of the snaps. Or, you know, last year you saw some weird numbers, right? Didn't like Booty have a few games where he's like out there like the whole time because they didn't really have anybody? And it was like,
by the end of the year, Diggs should lead them in snaps. If he doesn't do it right away, fine. But in terms of like snap percentage and how much he's out there, assuming any health for Diggs, he should be the guy leading them at the end of the year. So based on all that, Keith, I know you're at 10 wins. I don't think that number's moved. I'm at 9 wins. That number hasn't moved. How good do you think the team can be as we head into week one, two Sundays from now against the Raiders? We asked us about the Red Sox earlier, like what sort of ceiling do they have? What do we think for the Patriots? How good can this team be this year?
I think they can be solid. I think they could be certainly light years better than they were a year ago. And I do kind of put a lot of like the win total thing on the schedule. And because I know that the argument can be made the other way where, well, when the Raiders and the Steelers and the Panthers and the Browns and the Titans play the Patriots, they're thinking, all right, here's our chance for a win. So like, I'm not saying they're this world beater team. I kind of think they're closer to like the 2021 Patriots where they could have a solid regular season. Maybe, you know, Mike Vrabel and his defense can sort of beat up on some of the bad quarterbacks they play. They somehow grind their way to the playoffs, and then they're the team. Every year there's one or two teams that you're like, they're quote-unquote a playoff team, but they get demolished
right.
in the playoffs,
yeah.
like the 2021 Patriots.
The Tomlin Steelers for like yeah. the last 5 years. Yeah,
I think it could be that. Like, I could see them getting into the playoffs, then it's like, all right, here's Lamar Jackson. You're like, damn. Like, well, it was a good year. You made it.
We don't have
yeah.
that. Yeah,
so, like, yeah. I still have high hope, and I know, like, listening to the like Hart and Ted yesterday, they're, like, taking wins away by the minute. They're like, yeah. this team's way worse than we thought that it was.
Although Andy Hart also thinks they're going to win more games in October than the Red Sox, so it's...
Maybe so. Is he down on both?
It's a neat trick he's trying to pull.
Yeah, what the hell? He's trying to thread the needle on that.
He can't be down on both. He wanted Chapman to win MVP yesterday. So,
oh, I saw Cy Young votes. He wanted MVP.
He wanted MVP votes.
I'll throw him a vote.
Yeah,
I get 10. I get 10, right? 10 votes.
I think that's how it works. Yeah, you get 10 names on a ballot. You'll give him one of yours.
I'll give him one of my 10.
I got to.
As of right now, the season's not over.
These MVP votes are fluid.
Yeah.
Similar to tiers.
I'm gonna see how Roman Anthony finishes. Okay. Then I'll change it. But no, maybe this is gonna come back to bite me, and they're gonna win six games. But I just don't see it. I think they're gonna be smarter. I think they're gonna win games on defense. I think they are gonna be able to run the ball. I'm a little worried that with a team that doesn't have a huge room for error, I don't have a lot of confidence in the kicker. Not to go full kicker talk.
No,
but
you said this yesterday. You're like, they're going to lose a game because of the kicker.
And that stings because you're going to play a lot of close games, right? Like Mayo is even puffing his chest out about the close games, even though they lost almost every close game. I think they win more of the close games than they lose, but that is sort of a part of it that I'm not super confident
How's
in.
How's this for a good goal? From $10 shake in the Twitch chat.
All right.
The Pats are a quote unquote frisky team this year.
Frisky. No, this has been my barometer. No, frisky's good.
Yep.
In the hunt.
Yeah.
In the hunt is the best metric.
Those are probably pretty similar, right? If you're in the hunt, you're a frisky team.
So you'll be sitting on the couch, you'll be having a couple of pumpkin beers, and you'll be watching football.
I won't be doing that.
No. Actually, you know what? It won't be pumpkin beers. It'll be Christmas ales.
Yeah.
You'll be having some Christmas ales.
Nice winter ale.
A winter ale.
Yeah.
Late in the season. Snow outside, you're sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden they pop up the graphic. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo are like, here are the playoff teams, here's who's in, and here's who's in the hunt.
Yeah.
As long as the Patriots are in the hunt.
The Patriots have their own tiebreaker entry.
Because sometimes there's like, you're like, there's the AFC, and you're like, there's 13 teams on there. There's only three missing. Like, they can't be one of the three missing. Like, they're not even involved.
Which is what they've been the last
two
years.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. The last few years, you're like, where's New England? Oh, they can't even include them in the graphic?
Oh, they're out.
They can't add one more team to the graphic. Like, no. They're a joke of a team.
Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island. Hello, Matt.
Hey, no, I'm with you, Keith. Stop drafting kickers. Please stop drafting kickers.
Yep.
Now, I'm just disappointed. Swinson didn't make the team. That's a position of need and depth.
Who?
And you got... You know, seven or eight.
Swinson. He's back.
He's on the practice squad, Matt.
He's on the practice squad, Matt. He's back.
Oh, okay. But it just seems to me like just a little, trouble prioritizing when you have all these mid receivers. And, you see how that works out. Thanks.
Okay. All right, Matt. Well, they did get rid of a couple of the mid receivers. So they're down to six.
Braden Swinson fan. I didn't know that about
Matt Swinson.
Ryan. Yeah, he's a Swinson guy.
Yeah, SEC.
Yeah.
Good conference. But yeah, there's six receivers on the roster right now, which is more like, you can wrap your head around that. Eight was like a little jarring.
Eight with
one on IR, you're like, all right, that's a lot. That's a lot of wideouts.
617-779-7937. We're going to wrap things up with some thoughts on our fantasy football draft, Keith.
Tonight, live stream.
Where can people see that?
At Dork Podcast.
Yeah.
I swallowed my tongue. On YouTube.
Okay.
And at Jones and Keefe on Twitter.
Okay.
So the two places to stream it.
So you can watch that live.
Hashtag Dork Podcast.
There it is. You can watch that live tonight.
Yes.
9 o'clock.
Yes.
We're going to get in there. We're getting out of here early because we have day baseball.
Woo!
Crochet day.
Yeah. Jinx.
Oh, I owe you a Coke.
Jones can't talk the rest of the show.
So we will get to Red Sox pregame. We're going to hang out with Joe Weil, give you some thoughts. Coming up a little after high noon, first pitch a little after 1 o'clock here on WEEI. We have some thoughts. on what we're going to do for this draft. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and we also need to fill in the blanks that Jeff Cirillo left us.
We got to figure out the last two. Yeah. We got to figure out the last two picks in tonight's draft, too. Yep. We'll do that next.